Okay, let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today into something that's, well, it's become probably the single most crucial skill for just navigating modern life.
AI literacy.
AI literacy, exactly. And we're talking about really understanding artificial intelligence, not just as this, fascinating black box that you poke at sometimes, but as a critical co-pilot, something that you actually need to know how to handle skillfully.
And this is essential stuff for everyone. I mean, whether you're a student, a professional, anyone just trying to keep up, really. Our source material for this is fantastic because it's not just theory.
No.
We're looking at a real-world educational rollout. We're pulling insights from this really ambitious international project called the Arnline Project.
And this was a major undertaking, wasn't it? It brought together schools all across Europe, Spain, Italy, Germany, Turkey. And they were often focusing on schools in what you might call vulnerable educational zones. Their mission was pretty simple, but also really profound.
It was about preventing a new digital divide.
A massive one. Making AI literacy something accessible and, essential for the whole community, students, their teachers, and even their families.
And the urgency was clear right from the get-go. They did these initial surveys using tools like the European Selfie platform, and it showed this critical knowledge gap.
People just didn't get it.
Not really. They had a very limited idea of how AI actually works. And maybe more importantly, they weren't really aware of the ethical side of it all, the implications of using it every single day.
And if you don't understand the mechanics or the limits, you just become a passive consumer. You're subject to the tech, you're not driving it.
And that's a vulnerability.
That's the vulnerability right there. And that's what this project was trying to fight against.
Exactly. So the project saw this as foundational knowledge, for just being a citizen. So our mission for you today is to pull out the key framework, the practical skills, the how-to, and the big ethical questions you need to get your head around.
All right, so here's where it gets really interesting. We all use AI dozens of times a day, but let's just strip away the hype for a second. What is the AI we're actually interacting with?
Well, the Arnline Project did a great job of demystifying this. They moved the whole conversation away from, science fiction and onto function.
Okay.
So in their materials, AI is defined really explicitly not as a superintelligence, but as a probabilistic tool.
A probabilistic tool, meaning it's all about what's most likely, not what's true.
That's the core of it. Its goal is to give the most statistically plausible answer based on all the data it's been fed, not the one single factual truth.
That distinction is just. It's vital. It means that sounding good is always going to be more important than being right.
Precisely. We have to get it into our heads that these large language models, the tools everyone's using, they're prediction engines, not truth engines. They predict the next word in a sentence. That's it.
And to really nail this down for the teachers, they use this amazing metaphor, the stochastic parrot.
It's such a great term, isn't it?
It's perfect.
A parrot can mimic human speech, sometimes perfectly, but it has no idea what it's saying. It's just repeating patterns.
And the stochastic parrot, the AI is doing the same thing, just with statistics and massive amounts of data.
Right. It generates text that flows beautifully, but there's no comprehension, no real thought or judgment behind it.
I have to ask, though, calling it a stochastic parrot, does that sound a little, I don't know, dismissive? Is there a risk you might discourage students from really exploring what it could do?
That's a fair question. And the educators in the project, they were aware of that. But what they found was you had to teach the limitation first. It builds that critical foundation.
You have to break the magic spell
You
first.
have to break the spell. Students came in thinking it was infallible, like magic. By proving it's just a very, very sophisticated pattern repeater, you put the student back in charge. They become the quality control.
And they did that with the black box experiment, right? Where the students got to prove the parrot wasn't actually thinking.
That's it. It was basically a hallucination hunt. The challenge was simple. Stump the AI.
How?
Ask it for something that definitely wouldn't be in his training data, like the biography of a non-famous shop owner in their local village.
Or quotes from a book you just made up on the spot.
Exactly. And when they cornered the AI with that kind of hyperlocal or just plain fabricated information, what did it do?
It lied.
It generated the most plausible sounding lie it could. It invented a whole biography, made up credentials. It even produced quotes from the fake book, complete with a publisher that didn't exist.
Well, that must have been a huge aha moment in the classroom. What was the reaction when they realized it was just lying so convincingly?
The change was instant. They went from, you know, awe to skepticism.
Yeah.
It drove home the core lesson. If you don't already know the answer yourself, you absolutely cannot trust the AI blindly.
It puts all the responsibility for verification back on the user.
You are the safety check.
That's a huge shift in education. And it leads us right into the practical skills. If AI is just a tool, then the most important skill isn't creating stuff with it, it's controlling it.
100%. And this is where the project formalized prompt engineering. They turned it from this sort of, you know, dark art into an accessible framework anyone could learn.
They boiled it down to a four-step formula that everyone listening should probably write down. RCTF.
It just forces you to think before you type. It stands for role, context, task, and format.
Let's walk through that. R is for role. You tell the AI who to be, act as a science teacher.
Then C is for context, which is so important, it narrows the audience. Teaching 12-year-old students.
T is for task.
Yeah.
The actual thing you wanted to do. Explain the greenhouse effect.
And finally, F for format. This is how you control the output, using three bullet points and a simple metaphor.
The difference in output between that prompt and just, you know, write about climate change is night and day.
Oh, it's incredible. And more importantly, it changes how the student thinks. They aren't just a passive user asking a question anymore.
They're a director.
They are a director, orchestrating the tool's output. And that process of refining and controlling, that's what the project identified as the core skill of AI literacy.
And this was built right into how they graded the students, which I think is brilliant. They didn't just hand in the final essay.
No, they had to submit the whole chat history. You could see the prompts, see how they refined them using RCTF. And on top of that, a fact-checking report.
A fact-checking report. So they had to prove they went back and verified everything the stochastic parrot might have made up.
Exactly. It redefines the whole task. The grade isn't about the essay anymore. It's about the quality of the prompts, the process, and the rigor of your verification.
It shifts learning from just content creation to critical verification.
Which is a massive challenge for educators everywhere, but it's essential. And this naturally led them to the third big pillar. The ethical dimension.
Right. This was the focus of the final event in Spain, digging into bias and the dangers of these algorithms.
The big concerns were algorithmic bias, how the training data skews the results, data privacy, and the responsibility of schools to make sure access is equitable.
And they had a practical experiment for bias, too.
A really simple, powerful one. They'd asked students to prompt an AI to, say, write a story about a CEO and a cleaner.
Or generate an image of a doctor.
Right. And then the discussion wasn't about the quality of the story or the image. It was about the assumptions the AI made.
Did it make the CEO a man? Was the doctor white?
Correct. And when those stereotypes popped up, the question became why, and the students got it really fast. The AI isn't hateful. It's just trained on our data, the internet.
Which is full of our existing human biases.
So the tool is just a mirror reflecting the biases of our own digital world.
And teaching that to a 12-year-old is so important because it shows them the algorithm isn't objective.
It's not a calculator. It's a cultural artifact. It carries all the baggage of its training data. And that means you always need a human in the loop to ensure fairness.
That's the critical side. But the project also showed the other side of the coin, how AI can be an incredible force for inclusion and accessibility.
Absolutely. They specifically created this huge catalog of adaptive AI tools to support students with different learning needs.
Can you give us some examples?
Sure. For students with visual impairments, they highlighted tools like VoiceStream Reader, which turns any text into really high-quality audio.
Or Seeing AI.
Yeah, Seeing AI, which can identify objects, read signs out loud in the real world. It's amazing. For a student with a visual impairment, that's instant access. It equalizes the playing field.
What about for other needs?
They showcase tools for hearing impairments like Signal, which translates sign language into text. And for things like autism or ADHD, they had communication apps like Proloquo 2. These aren't just gadgets.
They're scaffolds. They let students learn and communicate autonomously.
So you have this Quinn mandate. Understand the danger of bias, but also leverage the incredible power of inclusion.
Which brings us back to the big picture. The goal was always total integration into the curriculum.
This was never meant to be just a tech class. It was a competence woven into everything.
So you'd see it in English and STEAM projects, making posters in Spanish class.
And maybe most importantly, in philosophy or history, where students would critically analyze the social impact of AI. It becomes a lens to view the world, not just a tool to do homework.
And they took it outside the classroom, too, with seminars for parents.
Yeah, because they knew that unsupervised use at home is a huge part of the picture. So they wanted to get the families on board with responsible use.
And this whole approach, it clearly created a global demand. The project website, erinlead.info, got some pretty impressive traffic.
It really did. Over 35,000 visits in 2025 across four continents. And what was really telling was the interest from places like the United States, Singapore, and Vietnam.
So it wasn't just a European thing.
Not at all. It proved that this practical foundational training model is exactly what the global education community is looking for right now.
Which speaks to their goal of sustainability. This wasn't just about a two-year project. It's about making AI literacy a permanent, essential part of the curriculum.
Moving from just using the tools to building a core competence.
Okay, so to wrap up this deep dive, we've defined AI as a probabilistic prediction engine, the stochastic parrot. We know we can't trust it blindly.
We've learned the RCTF skill for control, which turns you from a passive user into an active co-pilot.
And we've dug into the ethics, how AI reflects our own biases, but also how it can be a massive force for inclusion and accessibility.
And that really brings home the central lesson. AI literacy is for everyone, students, teachers, families. It's about fairness, closing the digital gap, and empowering critical thought.
So what does this mean for schools and institutions trying to do this? The sources all point to one massive ongoing challenge.
The speed of change.
The sheer speed of it. AI evolves so fast that keeping educational resources, like their app catalogs or ebook, up to date is a constant battle. It requires nonstop training and commitment.
Which leaves us with a really important question, I think. If AI is changing so quickly that our foundational knowledge is basically obsolete every 6 months, how does that change what foundational knowledge even means? Is the real core skill of AI literacy not just knowing the current tools, but developing the ability to unlearn and relearn constantly?
So the ultimate skill is just adaptation.
Maybe it is.
That is a thought to chew on. For now, though, here's a practical step for you listening. The next time you use a generative AI, try the RCTF framework, role, context, task, format. See what happens when you move from just talking to the AI to truly controlling it.